Nicole Whitney News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. Yeah, it's a great honor to have you on the show tonight. Welcome, Deepak Chopra.
Welcome to News for the Soul's 20th anniversary broadcast series. News for the Soul, the longest running spiritual empowerment and exploration broadcast in North America, started its 21st year in January 2018, and we're just getting warmed up. It's time to take it to the next level, exploring the edge of human consciousness and possibility on planet Earth in our 21st year with founder and journalist Nicole Marie Whitney at the helm. What's really real and what's really possible? That is what we want to know. So if you're ready to find out together, get ready for life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. Platinum Edition, here is News for the Soul.
It's time now on the News for the Soul Network for the psychic love doctor, Deborah Lee and friends. Since 1996, Deborah has done unique, powerful, life-affirming readings with a deck of ordinary playing cards using the personal prophecy card reading method her grandmother taught her many years ago. Call in now for your reading with Deborah today, 646-595-4274. Let's welcome the psychic love doctor back to News for the Soul now.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Monday and the Sir Show. I'm Deborah Lee. I will be your host for the next hour of a show that, well, it may have twists and turns and probing brains, and we don't even know what else. So we're going to just begin by saying thank you for joining us. On my left, I have the wonderful Deborah, who comes to us from years of having been you're more than a visitor to the Healing Fountain in Virginia Beach, where we're broadcasting. I would say
I was a patient, a client of Pamela Hopkins at the Healing Fountain, and I also worked for her as a social researcher.
And you also have a degree in?
Sociology.
And she is teaching us a lot, I'll tell you. I didn't really realize that sociology is like the foundation of pretty much everything.
It's society and human behavior and the mm-hmm. effects. Yes.
And then on my right, I have the always lovely Lauren, who is our award-winning hairdresser / marketer / what else do you do?
Co-host.
Yes.
Hi. They have wonderful opinions to share with you. For those of you that are tuning in that are brand new, just a quick backgrounder for you. My grandmother taught me this method over 35 years ago. She called it personal prophecy. This was a method employing only an ordinary deck of playing cards, which those of you who are tuning in from the Facebook Live show page, which is the Psychic Love Doctor Show, you'll see I'm holding up nothing but an ordinary deck of playing cards, not to be confused with tarot, oracle, angel. Oh, my goodness, there's archangel cards. I love all those decks, but they are a personal prophecy only needs ordinary poker cards. She taught this to me, and after her passing, I tried to do as much research on the subject as I could. But to be perfectly honest, there really wasn't much on or anything on personal prophecy. There is out there, of course, other systems that use ordinary playing cards. And I'm sure they're all wonderful. However, I chose to keep the methodology she taught me completely pure, so I did not read other methods or even other philosophies because I wanted to keep what she'd given me as pure, I guess that's the only word, pristine, as untouched by other philosophies as I could. So I did write a book. It's called The Message, Your Secrets in the Cards. And it does actually include lessons for any of you that may be interested. Go green, buy it used, it's fine with me.
It's a wonderful book.
Oh, thank you so much. So here we are. It's Monday. Always kind of a painful day, isn't it? There's just some kind of energy to Mondays that it's like, ugh. So Deborah, you did bring in a book that we were going to discuss a little bit.
And it's about society and how everybody's in such a hurry. And I found myself getting stressed out with that. So I came across a book in Walmart, actually, People Can't Drive You Crazy If You Don't Give Them the Keys. And Mike Betchell is an amazing author. And he talks about how you don't have to be controlled by difficult people. And he gives a lot of scenarios in his book that it's funny. So when these situations happen, especially driving behind somebody who's doing their own thing in a car, and, you know, the person behind them, me, getting upset, realizing, getting upset passing them, they have no idea what they've done to you. So meanwhile, you've allowed them to affect your mood, or I have allowed them to affect my mood. And this book has put it all in perspective. So now that next time when I'm behind these type of people, I think of what he says in this book, and I move on and pass them and say, you know, they have no idea. So guess what? I'm letting it go.
You know, this is very good information for those of us that are having trouble dealing with the internet, with social media. I mean, how often do we become completely unhinged over something somebody has said that may be their own wacky perspective on something, and we go off the deep end?
True. Very.
So I have found myself, I'm trying now myself to hold myself a bit in check. There are times I read something, I go, oh, that has got me so worked up, and I'll start a reply, and then I go, what am I doing? Do I really need to input here? Do I really, you know, is this going to change reality in any way? And then I start going, delete, delete, delete. And I decide, no, I'm not going to let this, you know, destroy my moment. And I think that we have to bring discernment to all of this.
I think today is kind of a day and age where it's weird. I think we're all kind of trying to please everybody and not offend anybody. And I think you have to consider the source of, like, who are you offending? Why are you offending them? You know, does it matter that we're offending them? You know, not that we should go out of our way to be offensive, but, you know, if we're doing things, like I said, like you, when we let people drive us crazy, like we're trying to cater to all these different types of people. And like you're saying, like online, like you have to consider the source, like who is this person that is writing these comments on my page? You know, who are they? Are they somebody, you know, from out in the middle of nowhere in the U.S. and all that they have to do is, you know, bother you? We can't be, you know.
Or we could we possibly just allow them to have an opinion?
Exactly.
No.
For me, what I know is what they are saying and what they're putting out there is all about them. And if I'm going to get offended by some of the things that they say, I say to myself, okay, why is that part of what they're saying in their opinion and what they think bothering you? So that means I have work within me if I'm going to be offended by what they said.
For instance, Melania Trump wearing that jacket down to visit where the children are being detained.
Oh, they're right.
And the jacket said, I don't really care, do you? Now,
it said that?
She was portraying that to the media, but other people took it and ran with it.
It was completely inappropriate. Poorest fashion choice I've seen her make. But in a way, I kind of thought, well, honey, it's your funeral.
And she's in the energy of her husband.
Yes.
You know, so of course she's going to be, you know, jumping on board with him because she's around that energy.
She's always so quiet. Like, she's always really quiet, and you always think, like, you never really quite know what she's thinking. Or I think we kind of see her as kind of like a victim and everything. Like, she's kind of quiet and beautiful, but she has to have some of the opinions
of
her husband.
Is it just resting biatch face? To put it nicely.
She's kind of like a beautiful, like, you know, she's just like a beautiful lady, and she's just there, and she is kind of, but she must like something, she must share the same values as Trump does, so I'm not kind of surprised.
Or at least the same bank account, I hope that.
Maybe he forced
her, there's a payoff somewhere.
Maybe he forced her to wear the jacket. Maybe we're getting mad at Melania, but maybe it was just, you know, maybe he's like, here, put this on.
She could have taken it in the bathroom and said, honey, you'll never understand how this happened, neither do I, but the thing got flushed down the toilet somehow.
Maybe.
Please call us. We need to hear from you. We're ready to give you your personal prophecy free reading. The number is 646-595-4274. Daryl is our resident husband, at least for me, behind the technology here in the studio in Virginia Beach. Do you have anything for me, darling?
No, I don't.
Not yet.
Okay.
There's a bunch of hellos.
Okay. Hellos work. If you don't say hello when we're doing our Facebook live shows, we don't know you're there. And maybe you won't know you're there, so it'd be a good idea to say hello.
I guess I've been kind of thinking about, you know, and if it's okay to talk about this, but like Anthony Bourdain and Kate Spade being on the show, you know, I was thinking, you know, they're very highly successful people, people that are well-loved and well-liked, and, you know, it's kind of culture where we think that we have all these people around us. We all have 5,000, you know, Facebook friends, and that like these people must have felt really alone. And kind of thinking about your opinion on this, you know, is it the society, the culture, do you think that we live in?
It strikes really close to home for Daryl and I too, because yesterday morning we have a neighbor that chose to pick that precise moment to go outside and take his own life, and nobody seems to have a clue why, or why didn't he reach out? He was an elderly man who seemed to have health issues. There has to be a family out there somewhere. And I'm wondering if these are the people we need to be concerned with, the ones that aren't out there saying, oh, I've had such a terrible life, I think I'm going to have to kill myself. Maybe because they verbalize it. You're the sociologist here. Maybe you have something that you could mention here.
Well, of course, with sociology, it's human behavior, you know, and society intertwined. Sometimes people are depressed, and sometimes we can't see the depression. And let's say if your neighbor, let's say, he left a clue where his children had grown up and they went their own way, you know, he was feeling lonesome, and maybe he was, you know, reaching out his own way. And sometimes people have pride. They don't say anything, you know, about what's affecting them, but sometimes one thing after another, after another, after another, and depending where someone's brain is, that really needs to be medicated because they are depressed. And depression is something we can't see. And sometimes people don't say anything, you know, and then other times they leave many clues. You know, for the people who leave lots of clues, you know, studies have said, oh, well, they're just saying it for attention. But it really doesn't matter, because anybody who leaves clues, or if they don't, for me, it's up to the loved ones to check them out and say, okay, I know this is going bad, this is going bad. Let's see what can go right and, you know, support and help them. You know, I just, depression is invisible.
It is, and Deborah, I'm so glad you brought that up. Plus, there seems to be such a trauma attached. I was mentioning to the ladies here before the show, I have had a stepmother who took her life, a best female friend, a best male friend, a friend that was actually a godfather to one of my children who took a 16-gauge shotgun on a Memorial Day, took his wife's life, he killed their children, and then himself. That for years, and even sometimes still now, I worry if I go to have we have a heated disagreement, and you just go storming out. I often worry, oh, have I pushed them over the edge? Are they going to go and kill themselves? You know, where I feel a tremendous amount of stress.
That said, I just, you know, when we talk about people, we talk about when they do things, I feel that it doesn't take just one experience. It's so many different experiences. You know what I'm saying? It could be a dozen, could be two dozen. But I, in my life, you know, as I went through a lot of my stages in my life, I started thinking of a lot of traumas that happened to me. And I told myself, if I don't come to terms with each trauma, they're just going to continue to add up.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes the people don't come to terms, or, you know, go to therapy like I chose to with Pamela Hopkins here at the Healing Fountain, walked in as a military spouse, wanting to know how to take care of myself. And boy, did I realize that I had a lot of things that I really needed to work on.
And with that said,
so that helped from things not piling up. So I don't think it's just one thing that makes somebody, you know, make that ultimate decision. I think it's just so many different things that are included in these choices.
Sure.
That they make. It's not just one thing. You know, when we say, oh, this one little pill is going to help me. Well, no. If somebody's depressed, they're going to need the pill. They're going to need cognitive therapy. You know, it's all together. You know, it's intertwined.
And men seem to feel such a stigma about reaching out. They can't even ask for directions how to get from point A to point B. And we're saying, well, if you're depressed, go get yourself some help. It might be too big of a jump.
Yes. And with that said, you know, with fathers, and when I remember when my brother was growing up, my father would tell him, boys don't cry.
Yeah.
You know, boys don't have emotions. So it's all in the parenting as well. So it's the parenting, it's the teachers, you know, it takes a village.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah, well, it would be wonderful if those of you out there would share your thoughts with us. Daryl, are you receiving anything?
Not yet, come on, callers. Colin!
The number is 646-595-4274. We are reaching out to you. We want to hear you.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Sometimes it's just an oddball day.
It
but we
can
just
be.
Keep,
but
we just keep marching on.
Cool. Hello, caller. Please tell me your name and where you are calling from.
Lindsay, and I'm calling from Oskaloosa, Iowa.
Hi, Lindsay. Well, thank you for breaking the ice on the show. I wonder, Daryl, if you might up our volume a little bit. Can you give us an idea, a little bit of what the situation is for you and the question you'd like us to address in your reading?
Okay, I've been with my partner for 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he, we are not married. And I'm not sure if he wants to get married at all. I do, but he is afraid of marriage.
Ah.
And he says you don't have to be married to be together forever. And I agree, you don't have to be married to be together forever, but I would like to be. And we have a son.
Let me ask you, Lindsay, why is he fearful? Has he had a bad marriage, or has he had just a, you know, difficult relationships? Has he been the product of a divorced set of parents?
Yes. So he does say that his family has a history of everybody's been divorced and married several times, and he doesn't want to do that.
Do you have any children together?
We do. We have an 8-year-old son, or he's 7. He'll be 8.
Oh, and I bet he's just darling, too.
Oh, he is. He is.
But it's hard to me. I'm old-fashioned. I have very traditional values as far as you can call yourself a family, but it doesn't really seem to have that glue that marriage would bring to. And you guys can just agree with me.
No.
I totally agree.
I think that, you know, I think it's funny. I think when people are so like, well, marriage doesn't really mean anything and it's just a piece of paper. If it means so much to their partner, then I don't see why not just go ahead and
bingo.
Do that.
She said it. That if it, yeah, but he, in his case, he's afraid.
Right. But I mean, you got to be reasonably afraid. Like, what is the risk? Okay. He's already been with her for 8 years. Let's say they get married. They do end up, you know, there is divorce. And I mean, but I understand that's the fear, but I mean, what is the fear? Like, it's just a thing. I mean, how much worse is it, the emotional connection that you have with somebody and breaking up with them anyway? I mean, it's already just as bad if you're living together with somebody and raising your child with that person. It's not going to feel any better just because it doesn't say marriage on it.
Exactly. In his case, excuse me, in his case, I'm thinking he's worried that you are somehow going to transform into somebody else once the, you know, the writing is dry on that marriage certificate. It's right here, front and center, that, oh, my goodness, she won't be the beautiful, wonderful Lindsay that I've known her to become, likely because he's observed others in their marriages. And, ladies, let's admit it, sometimes women will get together and have a little, you know, a girl talk, and they'll say, oh, once we're married, I will really change him. You know, I will make him the man that I want him to be. And this is so unfair to a man who, you know, is already trying to show himself to. Yeah.
My thoughts with that, when I was younger, I thought that I could change someone. And as I got older, you know, I listened to Dr. Phil, and Dr. Phil says we teach people how to treat us. And I added to the end of that in how not to treat us. It's not about changing anybody, but in every relationship, we have to teach someone, hey, this is the way I'd like to be treated, and this is the way I do not want to be treated. And you're open to let me know how would you like me to treat you or not to treat you.
I really feel it will benefit your son. You have a son, correct?
Right, yes.
Yeah. It will really benefit him. I see him right here. He thrives within the, you know, the circle of your relationship. But knowing that he has a dad that isn't going to just up and leave on a Tuesday, you know, because he can. There's kids kids have a real understanding about some of the basic foundational blocks of our society.
Absolutely, and if I could interject there as well with Dr. Phil, he talks about children looking for every reason for it to be their fault if dad left or mom left.
Right, right. I've got a suggestion for you, Lindsay. How
okay.
about considering doing a commitment ceremony first? It'll resemble, you know, have all the earmarks of a wedding without a lot of expense, but just gather. And now if he objects to that, then there is something deeper that needs to be looked at. But
right.
I would say, honey, how about if we do a nice commitment ceremony? This way I can celebrate my love for you, and our little guy can be part of it, and we'll all feel so wonderfully bonded. But that still doesn't, like, you know, put a ball and chain around his ankle.
And I think that's a common ground. That's a great idea.
I do. I think yeah. it's a wonderful idea, including the ring and everything that goes with it. Celebrate, keep it small, keep it big, however you feel is comfortable, and then let him enjoy what that kind of official commitment feels like. And then after, say, maybe one, possibly two anniversaries, I would say, let's do it for real.
I like that.
Right.
I like that
fair.
Idea. How do you feel about
yeah.
that?
I like that, yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And tell him Deborah Lee said it looks really good in the cards.
He does
okay.
hear it, is.
Well, yes, I have been sanctioned that I can conduct marriages and commitment ceremonies. But anyway, Iowa, you're from Iowa, right?
Yes, uh-huh.
Very close to my home state of Minnesota, but it would be a
oh,
jaunt
yeah.
here from Virginia. So
yeah.
but try that. Let's try to work with the man a little
let
bit. Yeah, and let us know. Keep us in touch with what's going on, Lindsay, because we can keep giving you readings and there will be more and more clarity. And I'll be able to see that his focus or his feelings are shifting. And I'll be able
okay.
to let you know it's working. Okay, so I'm really glad you called, and I hope this helps. And I hope
yes.
that there will be wedding bells in your future.
Thank you so much, you guys.
Oh, we just Bye. Love that you called us.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Great topic.
Thank
yep.
you.
All
Bye.
Right, take care. That was awesome. I love when somebody comes to us. See, that's the thing about personal prophecy. It doesn't just spit out like a fortune, like out of a cookie. It actually is something, you said it's kind of like therapy, Deborah. You said kind of feels a little bit like therapy. I think of it as life coaching with some therapy,
yeah.
where we take a situation and we're able to proceed from the cards, which is a good navigational path to take. Now, if she gave him an ultimatum, I don't think that's going to work.
That
no.
would work well. But she's giving him a common ground.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's awesome. Great idea.
And a nice party.
I can kind of relate to the not wanting to get married in certain aspects of it. Like, I think today, you know, having this huge wedding, starting off, you know, your relationship with a lot of, like, financial debt is kind of something that I don't ever want to do. I did plan kind of one wedding, and that didn't work out. So.
You're now in your third decade.
Yes.
Your feelings are different than when you were 20 or 21. Because we all played bride when we were little girls.
I didn't.
Oh, well.
I didn't.
You were busy playing honeymoon.
Hey! No, I didn't. I wanted to. It's actually funny. I told my mom one time. I was like, I never want to get married. I never want to have children. Like, I told her. And she's like, why? And I told her. I was like, well, I was like eight. And I was like, I think I'm really going to focus on my career. And it was funny because I didn't. I wasn't thinking about, you know, I have, like, jokes in my head. I thought more because I wanted to be an actress. I thought more about portraying, like, you know, like, who I was going to, like, co-star with and stuff like that. But I was never interested.
Well,
so when I ended up getting married, I didn't. I wasn't the one, you know, he asked me to marry him, like, three times. So I didn't want to do any of that. So I can kind of relate to sometimes men in that issue. Like, it's like, well, what are we going to do? I think sometimes, too, it's like, what are we going to spend, you know, thousands of dollars and, you know, have a party and feed all of our friends, you know, to celebrate something that we're already engaged in. I do understand that aspect of it.
Daryl.
Not that,
Excuse me, yeah. Daryl's doing a bit of a dance. You must have.
Yes.
I understand I completely where you're coming from on that.
I have a question.
All right.
Okay.
Lisa, she says, my daughter's father told her friend, a friend of Lisa's, that when he is ready, he will come back and be a family. Did he lie to the friend, or is he telling the truth?
Okay, let's all make sure we got this straight. The father told. Okay, you better.
Okay. The father of her daughter.
Okay.
Told a friend of Lisa.
Okay.
That he will, when he is ready, he will come back and be a family.
Mm-hmm.
She wants to know, did he lie to the friend, or was he being truthful?
I'm hoping he has good intentions.
Yeah, I do too. Otherwise, why put that out there?
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know the specifics of their status, right? Well, see, now this is where this style of card reading is going to be able to tell you the agendas and the feelings, thoughts.
I think sometimes people feel really guilty about a separation or leaving somebody, and they, even in their own mind, because maybe that's like him, like maybe he's not completely resolved with the idea of the separation and he wants, you know, to leave that door open.
What I'm seeing in this case is he is testing the waters. He's put that out there as like a feeler, telling the friend, you know, that when he's ready, he would want to come back and try being a family. This way, what he can do is put that out there. If he comes back with a resounding hell no from her through the friend, then he hasn't.
Very clever.
Yeah, see that? What he's doing? It's like being back in sixth grade. Go find out if she likes me or not.
Yeah.
You know?
Clever.
So it's this way, he doesn't lose face. He isn't, you know, embarrassing himself. And I also think that Lisa, he is wanting her to be sorry that they aren't back together now. I get the sense that there's been a lot of turmoil. There's been a lot of acrimonious moments between these two in the past, and I do think he is telling the truth. I do. So in her case, I would say yes, he is being truthful.
Now, I'm curious if Lisa wants him back.
Well, she asked the question, and I'm thinking that there's motive behind that.
Sure.
Yeah, and I think it'd be a good idea to let him decide when he's ready, and if Lisa doesn't, you know, if it's too late, too bad, so sad, you waited too long. But then it was maybe never meant to be at all.
Unfortunately.
Did you draw a card? I keep forgetting. We have Archangel cards here.
Okay. And I drew the card, Overcoming Difficulties. Archangel Jeremiah, the worst is now behind you, and you are surmounting any previous challenges.
The worst is now behind you. Well, that really kind of speaks to the situation.
I think so, too.
Mm-hmm. So thank you, Lisa, for that question.
All right, callers, again, our number is 646-595-4274. Give us a call.
And if you're international, you can always join us on the Psychic Love Doctor Show page on Facebook, where you can submit your question or your situation right there. Now, phone callers do get priority, but we do also check in with our Facebook watchers.
All right. Brittany, can you please tell me if he is my soulmate? His first name starts with a B and his last name starts with a C.
So we're checking on BC for Brittany.
Yes.
All right. And ladies can chat it up a little while I look at the cards.
What do you think about looking for a soulmate? Do you think that is, because we get a lot of calls like that, how do you feel like it works? Do you think it works if you're kind of actively searching for it, or do you think it's something like, it's like a romantic comedy, you got to wait till someone like falls on your head by accident, and then you go through the time period where you don't like them, but then you like them? It's good. I like the romantic comedies.
I think it has to do with the energy, of course, that both people are in. You know, what we're putting out, you know, usually draws to us. And also compatibility to a certain degree.
Sure. But you believe in soulmates?
I believe in the person for a person. In other words, you're my person. So I guess it, soulmate could be.
Well, Brittany, my perception is that BC is in your life for a very important reason. We all, first of all, though, need to remember that soulmates come in very different, you know, they're different. There's varieties of them. There's the romantic soulmate, the, I guess you would call it like the mate for life. Then there is the inspiring soulmate. There's the challenging soulmate, and so on. The friends that are soulmates. So there are isn't just that one. I don't know if it's the movies or what it is, books maybe, that have led us to believe a soulmate is that one person you connect with, and this is the person that you go through life with. And it just, go ahead.
In life, there's different seasons. For instance, when I walked into Pamela Hopkins for therapy on how to take care of myself, because I had no children to take care of, husband was deployed, and in that year he was deployed, he came back, and I was changed. I was transformed. So he even said to me, who are you? So we grow, and we have different seasons in our life. And when I met him, I was at one season, and then I healed from a lot of issues that I had that I didn't realize. And so when he returned from Afghanistan, I was way farther than he ever was. So I don't even think that, you know, he could have ever caught up. You know, we're all on our own journey. So that's,
in his respect, he was also changing and transforming as a result of his experience.
Exactly.
So we'll talk to Brittany right now, though. My feeling is, hon, he's in your life for you to learn from this relationship what you truly want for the future. So I would say, we can say he's here to inspire you to greatness with the one who is truly meant to be with you,
right.
Or he is here to challenge you to say, I kind of don't want some of the aspects that I'm seeing here. But I'm afraid I do not feel that this is a lasting connection for you. And, you know, it makes me sad, too, and I have to say that. But I feel that this is a relationship that has had a purpose, and there will be someone coming after BC that is really going to be far more compatible and more on your level, more into the things that you love as well as their own. So I think in many ways you've kind of tried hard to make this relationship work. We've all been there.
And I remember in my relationships, I would ask myself, why, Deborah, why are you trying harder than them for what you want, you know, than what they want? You know, that was kind of a red area for me, or a gray area.
And the thing is, when you connect with the right one, there is none of this, you know, trying and have to. And first of all, friendship is the best foundation there is for a long-term relationship.
Very true.
Once you have that, You have a base that no matter what comes along or what threatens to divide you, you always have that platonic love that was there first, last, and always. Mm-hmm. And then after that comes the commitment of wanting that to be your forever thing. And it's something you have together. So for her, don't despair. There will be the kind of soulmate you are hoping for. We're in June. Let me see what I get for a month for you. June, July, August, October. You may be bobbing for apples with somebody new in October. Until then, take care and let your heart guide you. Okay? So thank you very much, Brittany. All right, Mr. D.
All right. Gail, I talked to you last week about a friend that was passing, but I got too emotional on the phone. Can you channel me? Can you read the cards for me and tell me what's going on with my husband?
Okay, so this is a separate issue I'm hearing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
See, this is why I love when you folks are live on the phone, because then we can ask you for additional info, and the reading tends to be less vague, and you'll get more specifics.
I wonder how long they've been married.
I do that kind of thing.
Yeah. Something on there. I think if it's the call that I remember, I'm kind of curious what happened with her friend, you know, if she passed yet or not, but I guess we'll know on another show. So, Gail, if you can give us a call, you know, in the week coming up so that we can
yes,
with
and
you in
we
person.
Love getting
yes.
updates from our callers
yes.
and our watchers.
And just kind of check in on you because we know that you must be going through a difficult time still, so we'd like to hear from you in person as well as in written form, I think.
Pertaining to her husband, what I am getting is that there's a lot of silence here that is not of the good variety. In other words, I feel that there's some secretiveness, some as if holding back information. And, you know, let's all face it. If you don't give information that you should have, you're still lying. Basically,
right.
You know, it's the lie of omission.
Sure.
So I feel that it wouldn't hurt to keep an eye on this man and check out what's going on, because I never liked the Two of Diamonds. Two of Diamonds is a sneaky, clandestine card, very secretive. And it may not be much of a secret at all, but it does appear that possibly it could be communication with somebody that you would prefer of the female, you know, the persuasion that you would really rather he wasn't communicating with. And this doesn't have to be like some backstreet lover. It could be, oh, maybe a sister that you don't really have much of a relationship, and now he's talking to her behind your back, or it could be, you know, some...
That's a no-no.
Yeah, right, it is. And you don't want to do things that you wouldn't appreciate having done to you.
It could be a saucy redhead.
Yeah. Or a very dishy blonde.
Those are, only the nice brunettes over here. We're always
yeah.
sweet now. do we have any more questions on there?
I'm trying to get a little more specific right now, but...
I have a question for myself I could put on.
Okay, first let's go to him, and then we're
okay,
going to you.
Okay, all right.
Michelle in Ontario wants to know what she needs to know to manifest a healthy relationship.
Well, boy, I think we all can help with that.
Yeah. You know, I think probably you might agree, just making sure that you're in a good place. Like she was talking, you have to make sure that you're healing yourself and, you know, have yourself in a good place, you know, psychologically and mentally to be prepared for a good relationship. If you're, you know, negative and you've gone through a lot of trauma or just a lot of bad experiences, then I don't think you're going to be receptive to somebody who's really caring for you and really ready to be there, because it's kind of like, you know.
Yeah, Lauren, you know, what you said really rings a bell. Dysfunctional people will seek out other dysfunctional people because, get this, the healthy ones are either too boring or they're too dull, or because you might be the adult child of an alcoholic, or you kind of thrive on that chaos and the disruption, you know, that comes from, and I grew up in a home like that, where if everything is calm for a certain period of time, you go out into your adult life and need to stir things up a little because it doesn't feel normal to you.
Right.
Uncomfortably comfortable?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm going to piggyback off of what you said, too. As far as our relationship, too, there has to be communication. And what I've learned in my relationships, communication isn't just talking. It's, you know, making sure there's not misinterpretation. Make sure there's no misunderstandings, and especially in texting in today's world, where some people think that they can have a relationship and communicate through text, where
right.
there's so much to misinterpret. That down having conversations and putting the phone away, you know, and understanding each other, and not necessarily judging each other, but understanding where each other's at.
Exactly.
And for you, Michelle, what I'm perceiving here is you still have some stuff that you're working through. There's still a sense of pain over a past relationship. And I know the old saying is, you never really get over somebody till somebody new comes along. I think it's better for that somebody new to be you. Once you have fixed and healed yourself, you know, then you'll you will be ready for the right one.
Absolutely.
So I do feel, though, that it won't be long for you. Rita, if you don't want to do therapy per se, read a lot of good self-help books.
Yes, and self-talk. I am deserving. That's what came to my mind when you were speaking. I am deserving. I am worth it. I'm worthy.
There's a good website.
And Louise Hay, she's awesome. She has a book, How to Heal Your Life. Fantastic book.
And I definitely, you know, will promote these things for others. It's not like, oh, personal prophecy is the only way. No, bring in other methodologies, other ways to treat yourself. There's energy healing, which Pamela practices.
And I'm a
firm believer in it.
Yes.
I am too.
I am transformed. That is my name, transformed.
So that's what I'm feeling. There is a wonderful love coming for you, Michelle. And it won't be long, but give yourself the time you need so that you aren't rushing. You know, get to know Michelle. That's the biggest thing. You know, a lot of times we find our identity through somebody else. That's not a BS. Very much so. You got to be your own you.
Your authentic self.
One thing we were discussing just briefly is how we've noticed that women lately are using the F word a heck of a lot more than they ever did in the past. And it seems as if that's part of their power of empowerment process. Because back in my day, the F word was really like a $100 bill. You didn't want to just be flagrantly throwing them around because it just made you look hard and tough, especially as a woman. You know?
Well, I sound like a chipmunk. And I feel like there's not a whole lot I can say to be, like, taken seriously.
Okay,
like, it's like, oh,
yes.
Well, I just think it's very cathartic, okay? Even if I'm by myself. And I think that there'd be a lot more people, like, murdered if a lot fewer F words were pronounced. It is. It's just nice. Just go into your room right now and just say the F word, callers. Just do it. You'll feel better.
Okay, Daryl, take us away.
Good area code, 757.
That would be a good area code, yes.
Hey there, local. What's your name and what are you calling about?
757. Hello.
Are you there, 757? Are you in one of our fine cities, Suffolk, Norfolk, Hampton, Virginia Beach, Chesapeake Beach,
Newport News? Okay, I guess we'll have to come back if they recall.
They dropped.
Oh, we're sorry, local caller.
Okay. So, Lois would like the outlook for the next few months.
Wouldn't we all, Lois?
Yeah.
I like. Lois is nice. I like it. Clark Kent and Lois, right? Yes. Did you ever date a Clark?
I am now.
You are now?
Oh, my gosh. Seriously.
You're dating a Clark.
Yes.
Wow. I like a guy. Now, does he have the eyeglasses? Is he more of the Clark Kent, or is he more of the Superman without the glasses?
I'm thinking Superman.
He's a Superman.
He is?
Yeah,
does he have that intellectual, but like...
Yes, because I met him in college when I went back later in life, thanks to Pamela Hopkins again. She was a life coach to me as well.
Thank you, Pamela.
So I received my undergrad.
Okay.
And he actually was the valedictorian in my graduating class of
Stanford
University
gosh.
In 2014.
That is beautiful. So you have... You should just go by Lois. Do you just go by Lois with
him? Deborah.
Just Deborah's good. Deborah's a good name.
So, Lois, there's a few things your cards have to say. Refresh us, our mind on the question, Daryl. Okay,
she
I think it was.
The outlook on the next,
for next
few months.
Three, yeah.
Yes.
Well, first off, right off the top, I've got to say, Lois, watch your health. And I mean as far as your daily health, not as far as, oh, my gosh, you need an MRI. That isn't what I'm referring to. I'm saying that I feel you are a person that has a tendency to get too many balls in the air. And what happens is you spread yourself too thin. And that means you're not sleeping enough. You're grabbing a, you know, fast food something or other instead of a good nutritious meal. You need to make sure you're taking good care of yourself, first and foremost. Remember, also, if you don't care for you, you can't really care for other people.
No.
No. Also, I want you to be a bit discerning about your friendships. you may find that over the next few months, you are disconnecting in a, not an abrupt way, but there is a natural way of withdrawing from people. There are some around you that I'm not sure really serve your best interests anymore, and you may know exactly who I'm referring to. There's one in particular here, a female, who seems to have a very hurtful type of personality. She may not have fully, you know, thrown it in your direction, but I feel that that is coming, and you should probably, you know, like, protect yourself. Be ready.
Look out, Lois.
Yeah, let's just, yeah, you don't have to let people hurt you if you, you know, but I'm trying
you
to.
You can't let people drive you crazy if you don't give them the keys.
Ta-da, there we go. Pick up a copy of this book. You said it was at Walmart?
It was at Walmart, absolutely.
I'm sure it's also at Amazon and everywhere else.
See, look at how full circle that comes
and
around.
And, you know, it's interesting because that really is what she needs to hear. Also, try not to expect too much from others. Sometimes our expectations can be so great.
As far as expectations, sometimes I've noticed people will have expectations of me, but they're not letting me know what they are and not giving me the chance,
sure.
And then being disappointed because I didn't meet their expectations.
I think that's fabulous.
I just like to set those expectations real low, and, you know, then you end up not being real disappointed. Like, I get very excited. I do. Do you notice that about me? Like, you get me, like, a cup of coffee. It's the best thing, because I was never like, I demand coffee from Deborah every time I see her. So she gives me coffee, and I'm like, it's like I won the lottery every single day. Someone opens the door for me,
like,
and
she's
it's
not
phenomenal.
High maintenance. See what I mean? But for you, Lois, really, just kind of, take a good inventory of everything around you. Where do you want your life to go? As we are now heading into the second half of the year, we start to wind down as we hit the fall, and we want to loose up a lot of loose ends as we get closer to the start of the new year. My sense is that a lot of your energy is compromised by others. I think they make unfair demands on her at times, and I think that in the romantic sense, oh, my dear, do you ever need, she needs some pampering. She needs, yeah.
Take care
yes.
of her.
Yes.
Lois Van Warren.
It's selfless. It's very selfless to take care of yourself.
Enjoy some pleasures, you know, guilty ones even.
Lots of guilty ones.
Ice cream.
Not exactly what I was thinking about, but
like for you, you need a massage, you know, and we will
we'll
be lining you up with one because you deserve it. If you live a high stress life, you got to bring in these components that bring you like a little break from everything. So, Lois, you need to call in next time. We can do a better job than this, but this is what we've got for you just as having sent us a question. Life is going to get really good for you too, hon, in 2019. So hang in there. It's not really been a big, wonderful year for a lot of folks. So look to the future. It's going to be wonderful for you. All right, Daryl, what do we got?
Alexis wants to know about her relationship with Mel.
Alexis and Mel. She wants to know about it. Now, well, I guess the cards are going to tell us whether or not this is a platonic or a romantic relationship. So, you know, I'm rooting for them in a positive light.
People don't often call in to ask about friends.
Yeah.
Usually about lovers or husbands, girlfriends, et cetera, spouses.
Well, friends, it's funny that you say that, though, but I feel like the most long-lasting relationships I have had our friends last a lot longer than our romantic relationships. But we do always tend, I think, we're a very romantically inclined society, so we're always, you know, looking for that also. But while you're laying this out, do you start feeling like the energy, like while you're doing the cards? I can feel you. I can feel her feel the energy. And I feel the energy. But I don't know what's going on, Deb.
What was the question exactly again?
She wants to know about her relationship. Alexis wants to know about her relationship with Mel. She might be a Melanie, a Melody, or it could be like a Mel Gibson. So I don't know.
Well, what I am perceiving here is a heck of a roller coaster in a lot of ways. I feel there's been so many ups and downs and all around that it, I can see why you're wondering what, like, what's going on. Personally, the cards are not very positive in reference to this relationship. I feel, though, because you, there seems to be such a high amount of emotion on Alexis, your part, that I feel you're invested. And you should really be prepared for, well, let's just call it an eye-opening experience that could come either in some situation that you see or something that you hear. I'm not real happy with the way this Mel seems to have a back turn towards you, seemingly in a bit of a non-caring way, turning toward the future. These are good calls, people, when you need to get more information, because we are able to really tap in far better.
Alexis, get a raincoat on. It's going to be stormy out with this Mel character.
See, you're going to be a fabulous card reader. You have a angel card for her.
I do. It the angel card I pulled is clairvoyant. And Archangel Uriel, pay attention to thoughts and ideas that come to you as they are answered prayers. Sherry knows.
I think she does.
Mm-hmm. She knows.
And I think you're asking for confirmation.
And when you said back turned, the word dishonor came to my mind. And we do not want a man to dishonor us or our mate to dishonor us in any way, shape, or form.
Well, I think Alexis should say to the left, like the famous Beyonce song, and get a new partner in life, whether this was a romantic Mel or a non-romantic Mel. I think we should do away with
that. And interesting you say to the left. In my experiences with psychiatry, to the left is to the past.
Mm-hmm.
To the right is to the future. And right in front of you is the present. So if you want to ever ask yourself, there's a little exercise you can do, like, for instance, want to know about someone. Say you're asking, hey, I haven't heard from Rob in 10 years. I wonder how Rob feels about me. And if you find yourself suddenly looking to the left, that's going to give you information. Hmm. If you look to the right, I mean, your eyes will just go there.
And so if I was asking somebody thinking about me and my eyes go to the left, is that an affirmation or?
No, I would say that's somebody reminiscing occasionally, but they are in the past.
Ah.
If it goes to the right, I would say that is someone who is looking or putting energy into manifesting you for the future. Okay. And if it ends up that you just keep staring straight ahead, this is going to just mean the future is too nebulous right now. The situation is too foggy, so you can't really get a clear answer. But I want Alexis to know I'm seeing advances in your work that are amazing, that are coming for you. And there's someone from your past who is longing for you with a very broken heart that I feel you're going to hear from when you least expect it, and the plot is going to thicken here, and you just might really enjoy the outcome that you receive from all of this. So, folks, those are great questions today. So we are getting a little short. They're going to turn the lights out on us here in about eight minutes.
Do we have
any more there for us, Daryl?
No. Okay.
All right.
Let me go real quick.
Yeah.
All right. So I was seeing somebody for about a year, and we broke up. Last night, got a text. It said, hello, with a wave. We were texting last night. He's very handsome, and this is my question, Deb. Should I start doing some, like, squats and stuff? Like, am I going to go to Seattle, and, like, am I going to do our – am I going to meet him again?
I love her.
So I want to know, like, will I see him in person again soon? Is he my soulmate? He's just very handsome, like, think like Ryan Gosling, Jared Leto. Like, he is very attractive.
So is he like your mister right now?
I don't know, but he was pretty nice. I have a lot of happy memories.
So let me ask you about these squats. Are you doing these squats for you, or are they in preparation for him?
Well, I mean, I'm not gonna lie. I don't like doing squats. But, you know, like, I'm just saying, like, I like to look forward to something. I get in shape for a cause, an event. Is there going to be an event is what I'm asking.
Are you going to Seattle?
I might want to go to Seattle should these cards give me a positive. He did a hello and a wave, and he's very respectful like that. He doesn't give me a W-Y-D.
He punted.
He did, and I think he did tell me he bought a house out there, though. So I wonder, because we kind of stopped talking very much because I kind of felt like he was in time in his life. Where
you lowered the boom on this guy, didn't you?
I did a little bit. What's going on
here,
Deb?
Well, it's saying that he's actually missing. Here's the thing about men. You know, we have to remember that men by nature are hunters. They like to pursue. And what happened is you basically said bye-bye.
I did a little bit.
And now he walked away like a wounded lion, and he licked his paw for a while. And now he's thinking, seriously, now he's reminiscing about the relationship and
there
all
a
you
lot
off,
of nice things to reminisce
all
about.
You had to offer him and how he didn't appreciate, you know, now you would get the man that you didn't get before.
So you think I should be doing squats?
I think he cares enough about you just the way you are. You are the Bridget Jones in his life.
It's so boring, though. I want someone who wants to set some high demands for me. I want my almost abs back again. I never get abs. I only get a shadow of an ab.
Ladies everywhere, get the abs for you.
I
don't
like
worry.
An ab.
I'm thinking that in my head.
I do it for myself, but I just, you know, all right, we have a caller, apparently.
Yes, do squats, Lauren, to your heart's content, so they make you happy.
My content says no squats.
All right.
75, 75.
Woo! Ooh. Hello. Hello?
757, we desperately want to hear your call. What is your name and what is your call about?
Oh.
757, this has been quite a disappointment.
Find a better spot for a signal. You're driving us crazy.
Or maybe they're just thrilled with my squatting trip to Seattle, is he?
There, see now, 50 some minutes ago, he had no idea what to expect.
No.
That's what we love. We love to just do an unscripted, let's jump in kind of show, and that's what we did. And I hope you agree that you would like to see these ladies back with me on News for the Soul, because I think they bring a really interesting perspective to the show. By the way, they're single, sort of.
I know. We'll see after I do these squats. It's starting now.
Now, okay, we've got a couple minutes left. You know, there is a Psychic Love Doctor phone or tablet app, I guess it is. Did you? Oh, please give us a review.
Oh, I love it. I actually follow the app because it says.
That is a cute phone cover,
like
Kate. It makes me happy. You're all kinds of pink and
mm-hmm.
very beautiful. I like it all. There's happy
okay.
vibes there. I miss
Thank
navy
you.
Blue and gray.
The Psychic Love Doctor.
Yes.
You had mentioned to go there. And download the app, and I did. And so it says on the app, please think of any question you would like answered. And my question, you know, is more so, you know, trusting another person to actually take care of me, really, or if I'm going to move, where I'm going to move, and this and that. And I pondered on it for a little while, and then I pressed the question mark, and it talked about this green-eyed person that I had to trust him, even though his eyes are brown. I know his green is his money because he's always
there. You go.
And to trust and you know, some of the issues from the past that I had from 30 years of being cheated on in my relationships, this card was saying, hey, look, it's time to trust. It's time to relax. It doesn't matter what has happened in the past. Go with it. And I'm going with it. And so.
So it resonated for you.
Yeah.
And that, I find and I hear from a lot of people using it. They just love it. Free, get yours. If you have an iPhone, I got to say this really fast before we go. If you have an iPhone, the Psychic Love Doctor app has not been updated for that yet, but go to the psychiclovedoctor.com page and you can get the, you know, bookmark where it'll say right there, free reading. Bookmark that. It's the same thing. It's the very same program. Just not as pretty as the app is. So everybody, I think it was a great show. Lauren, thank you. Deborah, love having you with us. Daryl, you did good.
Yay.
And to Nicole and everyone out there, please stay well this week. Please try to keep a positive attitude.
Yes, glass is always half full.
It is. And join us next Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, because we'll be here and we hope you will be too. Thank you. Love you. Mwah.
This has been News for the Soul with Nicole Whitney. Visit us anytime online at www.newsforthesoul.com, where you can listen to all our previously aired shows at any time and so much more. Have a great week, and remember, what you focus on expands.